What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Giants and Jets, the Snoopy Bowl, which I believe they're still calling it the Snoopy Bowl. I had no idea. I saw Sean tweeting about it, and Rosie was trying to get me to talk about dogs at 5 o'clock today because there's a Snoopy Bowl. I knew they used to call it the Snoopy Bowl. I thought they got rid of that, but we did have the Snoopy Bowl.
Why did they call it the Snoopy Bowl?
Because of, I think, a sponsor, I want to say, or something like that.
Isn't it MetLife?
Yeah, MetLife, right?
MetLife?
Yeah.
Is that not their logo part of it?
I don't know.
This is why we need evidence.
It was Sean. Giant Stadium when I was there. That's all I did.
The Snoopy Bowl nickname for the Giants Jets game originated from MetLife Stadium's former use of Snoopy as a mascot. While the stadium no longer uses Snoopy as its mascot, the name stuck.
Oh, so wait. So when I was playing, it wasn't the Snoopy Bowl.
No, it would have been the...
isn't it like the commission, the mayor's trophy game, I believe?
That was Yankees-Mets, I think.
Oh.
Pretty sure.
I know. Yeah, I don't think it was anything when I was playing.
Yeah, well, anyway. I mean,
that's
I
why it doesn't register to me.
Right, so MetLife stopped using Snoopy in 2016, but they still use the Snoopy Bowl.
Right. When did they start using the Snoopy Bowl?
Definitely the Snoopy Bowl when Sanchez got hurt in 2013.
Yeah, that's the one you remember the most, when Sanchez got hurt, calling it the Snoopy Bowl. And I think Rex Ryan would bring up the fact that it was the Snoopy Bowl. But at least the last couple years, for me, I don't recall hearing it called the Snoopy Bowl a lot. Bottom line is this. Jackson Dart, and this is my take on it, he has everything you need to be a superstar, not only in the NFL, but here in New York. He's got the game. He's got the swagger. He's got the personality. He's got, let's be honest, when you're a starting quarterback in the NFL, especially in this city, and you're young and you're single, you don't need a lot to get a date on a Saturday night.
Right.
So he's a handsome fella. And he's one of those guys, we met him, Teak, out at camp. You meet him for the first time, and it's like your boys.
Yeah.
And it didn't come off phony. It came off like confident, maybe even a little like cocky, but right on that line of confidence and cockiness.
I hear you. He's authentically
like a dude.
Yeah. But confident. And it's, you can't help but gravitate to guys like that because they make you feel good about you. And so I think that's what's going to make him at some point. Not right now, obviously, because this is Russell Wilson's team for 2025, at least to start it, unless something else happens. But in the future, it's going to make him a really good player and leader for this team. And you look, we're talking preseason. Most everything that you see is vanilla. Mm. It's cover two, it's cover four. Maybe you get cover three thrown in there every now and then. But you're seeing none of the combo coverage. You're just not seeing any illicit or crazy dogs and blitzes. And so it's... I don't want to say it's easy, but if you're a good, smart, heady quarterback, it's almost easy to execute. And so as long as your offensive line is protecting you, which they have done to a great degree, Jackson Dart is doing exactly what he should be doing, making plays happen and looking confident out there. At some point, it'll get more complicated for him, but in the preseason, he's doing exactly what he's supposed to do.
Yeah, and it's tough not to get excited when you watch, you know, Jackson Dart play football. And I understand it is the preseason, mm-hmm. and I do understand that it's vanilla, and he's playing, you know, for a lot of times backups, whatever the case may be. You might not be able to tell he could be great, even though I think he has the look of a superstar, but you could kind of tell if a guy's going to be bad.
Yes.
Like Tyler Shuck in with the Saints.
Yes.
I mean, he just looks like he doesn't know how to play football.
Right.
So you could kind of tell maybe early on if a player doesn't have it at all.
Right.
When it comes to Dart, he has not only the intangibles as far as dealing with the media and the looks and just that rock star kind of thing going on, but I think he also has the game. Now, we had a caller that brought this up earlier, and he's right. In the big spots, in the big moments at Ole Miss, he didn't always play his best, but he also played in a tough conference for a head coach that gives you a pro-style offense. So he has gone through the war, so to speak. So he is battle tested for those big moments, Teak, and I think that it'll serve him well in the NFL.
Yeah, so I think when you think about Ole Miss in the SEC, playing, you know, the Georgias and the Alabamas. Those, all those guys on those defenses are pro ready. I mean, this is what, this is how Philadelphia gets good. They just draft Georgia defensive linemen over and over again, or linebackers, and they come in and start playing great in the NFL. So I'm not making any excuses for why he struggled in college, but it's also what he hasn't seen yet in the NFL. That is pressure. That is, you know, intensity and guys, you know, running at you and trying to take your head off. He hasn't gotten that yet. At some point he will, and he may struggle. But we're not going to see that this year. You're not going to see it in the preseason, and you're not going to see it for him in the regular season. And so any of this, like, speculation about what he's going to be relative to those, you know, those pressure moments, we're likely not going to see it this year. And so I think the best thing that we as Giant fans can do is accept that he's meant to be here, because there are other guys that over the history, like, remember when Brock Osweiler got drafted for Denver, and it was just like, dude, is this kid, like, is he going to make it? I remember having a conversation with one of their analysts out there, and he's like, man, he's swimming. Like, he's lost a little bit. Jackson Dart is not lost. He looks completely in control of everything he's been asked to do. So he belongs here. It's just, when is that going to happen? And it's not going to be anytime soon.
That's the Giants are going to play in multiple Super Bowls with Jackson Dart as their quarterback.
Yeah, okay, sure. I saw that circulating. people want to say that there are multiple Tommies. There's positive Tommy. There's delusional Tommy. Or Delulu Tommy, as the kids would call it. There's regular Tommy, et cetera, et cetera. I've heard four or five different takes from Sean about Jackson Dart. Like, I, for some reason, maybe I was on the porcelain, you know, thing there on the throne, and I was listening, was watching his podcast. And he's like, "Well, calm down. I like Dart." And then I saw that clip there about the multiple Super Bowls. We'll see. The bottom line is this: it is preseason, and you don't want to put a lot in the results per se. But what I do like is the way he carries himself. Mm-hmm. I like the way that he's processing things right now. Even with the other night where Dable subbed him in, yeah, and it looked like he was going to stay for a play. That felt like
plays,
yeah, that felt like some type of like test to see how he would handle it, and he handled it, you know, great. So I think that everything that's been thrown in front of him so far, he has passed with flying colors, and that's all you could go off of as far as in his Giant career.
Right. We talked about that. Me and Schmelk and Paul Dottino talked about this on the post game. You know, why did Dabes do that? And the reason is because you never know if you are the backup. Now, I think Jameis is going to be the backup, but let's just say Jackson Dart is the backup. And whoever the starter is, Russell Wilson, gets hurt, gets concussed, gets, I don't know, the shoe comes off. Something becomes unavailable. He becomes unavailable for whatever reason. And now you have to, like, quick change, get into the game, and go make some plays. That's what he was testing it for. And by the way, he got pressure on that play through a ridiculous sidearm dump down to the tight end, who made a humongous play, 30 yards. And so, like, I love how Dabes is testing Jackson Dart right now. And it feels like every test, he's passing with flying colors.
Yeah, and this is really Brian Dable's, you know, pet project. This was his handpicked guy. This was the player that he anointed to be the... Let's just call it like it is. The savior of this franchise. I don't think I can, like, overstate that. Where the Giants have been over the last however many years, and the ineptness, especially on, like, offense, and their lack of, like, sort of joining the modern era of the NFL and throwing a lot of touchdowns and scoring a lot of points. Jackson Dart, and this just, and he's the kind of kid that I think can handle it, because I know there's been a lot of Zach Wilson comparisons because they're both from Utah and right. They're boys and the whole deal. Zach Wilson was not, in my opinion, mature enough to handle the bright lights of the NFL.
And he wasn't prepared enough because he was just handed the starting job with a rookie offensive coordinator. And we all know the situation with the quarterback coach who unfortunately passed away. And so, like, he just wasn't prepared. Jackson Dart isn't going to be asked to do nearly what Zach Wilson was asked to do. Go lead a franchise that's trying to get out of its own way and do it without, you know, a full complement of support behind you. Of course you're going to fail. Jackson Dart has every situation set up to be successful.
Yeah, and I don't think Zach had the personality or the maturity to handle the struggles of New York.
Right.
And I think Jackson Dart, under what he went through in college with Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss, he is battle-tested, game-ready, mature, confident to handle the market, the media, and the ups and downs of being the Giants quarterback.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing him play again in the preseason, but we're not going to see him in the regular season. NFL Talk on the Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
Evan and Tiki here on the Fan. Tommy Lugauer, Tiki Barber, Sean and Evan are both on vacation. Now, the other thing that stuck out to me, well, a couple things. Number one, the offensive line is playing really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
Evan Neal is playing great, and I think he deserves a lot of credit for that.
Right.
You know, he's rebounded nicely from some of the stuff he said and some of the stuff he's done on a football field, and he's having himself a nice camp, a nice preseason. And the Giants offensive line with Andrew Thomas on ice has looked good here. And if they block and they can, you know, provide time for Russell Wilson and eventually Jackson Dart, the Giants are in a good position here, Tiki, because when the Giants line plays well throughout, when you were playing, you know, when they were winning like Super Bowls, it was always about the offensive line. And we've heard it forever. They got to get the offensive line. So far, the offensive line has been really good.
Look at all the teams that win Super Bowls have good offensive lines. The Eagles had a great offensive line last year.
Mm-hmm.
The Chiefs the year before had a really good offensive line. And so if you can't protect the best parts or the best skill position players on your team or provide them opportunities to make plays, that is in the run game, you're going to struggle. It's just that is what it is. The Giants have there are questions up there with with Andrew Thomas obviously not being in there, being there yet. James Hudson probably going to start over there if he's unavailable at the beginning of the season. But you have a really good front right now, and Evan Neal, who you just mentioned, is pushing for a start at the right guard. Now, I know he has the skill. It's just about him figuring out how to play guard. He hasn't done it since he was a freshman at Alabama. And so that was, this is his fourth year? So that was 7 years ago, 8 years ago? So it's been a long time since he's had to put his hand in the dirt and be a road grinder. But he's got the physical tools to do it. He's just got to figure out how to do it. And it's short because he missed the first preseason game. He's got one more preseason game, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, and as far as Russell Wilson goes, and when you watch him, he could still hit the home run, which he did early on for almost a touchdown down to the one-yard line. But then the rest of the game is what it is. It's kind of meh. It's kind of...
Well, he can't move like he used to.
Yeah, and when you take that out of his game... Now, he was never necessarily, Michael Vick or Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson.
But he could scramble.
Yes, and he avoided contact brilliantly. That's why he's been able to have such a long career. But he's mainly there now to be that leader, the starting quarterback, and hit the home run occasionally to a Malik Nabers. Otherwise, the rest of his game kind of reminds me of what we've watched a quarterback over the last couple of years, where it's uninspiring.
Well, the only reason I disagree with that is because we've listened to Dabes talk about get the ball downfield, make big plays. Him and Joe Shane made a concerted effort to try to bring playmakers onto this team, because you have to be able to hit home runs in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't go station to station. Can't go 10 yards, 10 yards, 10 yards, 10 yards, 10 yards, first down after first down, and then score a touchdown when you get in the red zone. You got to expand the field, and you got to, threaten, have a threat of immediate score. And Russell Wilson will do that, and he's done it his entire career. And we saw it on the almost touchdown that he threw to Bo Collins, and that play, it was a layered play. So it was three steps. It was only one side of the field that was in play. The left side of the field, there was no route over there. So it was a check down. It was a wheel route that Darius Slayton was running up the sideline. And then you had this like skinny post that Bo Collins was running. And when Andre Sisco overran it basically, and he, vacated the center of the field, Bo Collins just kept running. Russell Wilson made a perfect throw, hit him 62 yards, a 62-yard throw, and he got down to the 2-yard line or 1-yard line. Like, that's what Russell can do. But back a year ago, Daniel Jones wouldn't throw that ball.
Yeah, he was like afraid to, or couldn't pull the trigger.
He'd throw it away.
Yeah.
And so you even saw it later on the second time that he took that shot to Bo Collins. It ultimately turned out to be an interception. That was just miscommunication on Bo Collins' part. Because when Dabes was talking about this after the game, he said something like, "It's more. We need more time on task, right? We just need more repetitions doing that." And the reason you do is because Bo Collins got fooled. He thought it was cover zero. He thought there was nobody in the middle of the field because when he started running, there was nobody in the middle of the field. He put his head down, took an inside release, and he never looked at the center of the field. But what the Jets had done is that they had a safety down, and they moved that safety back into the...
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
The middle of the field. And so Russell Wilson threw the ball to the sideline because the safety was in the middle of the field, right. And Bo Collins is running in the middle of the field. And so it was just a miscommunication. And so, like, but Dave said it right. He said the exact right thing. I'll take that. Because to me, it's like an, he didn't say this, but I said this. It's like an arm punt. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you're going to take a shot down the field
right. And
it results in an interception, okay, whatever. Right? Whatever. They got the ball on the 20-yard line. It's not like you're throwing it out in a pick six. Right? Those you can't stand for. A deep throw down the middle of the field, just take a shot, you'll live with it, especially because you're being aggressive.
By the way, Tiki, we're on SNY right now. Hello, SNY. Are you distracted by the monitor that they have in here? Now, for those of you that are listening on the radio, obviously radio is theater of the mind. SNY has a monitor in our studio, so myself, Tiki, we can watch ourselves on TV. I know Evan avoids it at all costs because he doesn't find himself attractive, which we all agree. Tiki is a mannequin, so he looks into it. I can't help but look at this monitor. And when I'm talking, I'm like, I look down too much. I'm like, Ricky Bobby, what do I do with my hands? I don't know what to do with my hands. See, I move too much of my hands. And I find it, quite frankly, distracting. Now, you don't know that listening to me because I'm a generational talent and I could just do my thing and my flow and I cook. But I find it oftentimes, I'm staring at myself in the monitor. Like, I'm a lean cuisine. I lost weight. I got a good, like, a jawline going. Do you find yourself, when Evan is sitting there talking about, you know, Stratomatic bass, or somebody's, you know, whiff rate, that you're just sitting there staring at yourself.
Sometimes.
Yeah,
sometimes.
Like, oh, man, I'm looking good. Right. Oh, now they're zooming in on me.
Let me adjust a little bit to the left. Yeah, maybe I should look at it.
Do you want me to cover the monitor?
Dude, my eyes look so blue on TV. Why did I get married? Can I go back and, like, you know, if I knew I was going to be famous, I kid, sort of. But, you know, now there's, maybe don't zoom in too much. You're going to know what I have for breakfast. But now you're zooming in too much now. We got to zoom out a little bit. So no, you can't zoom in too much here. The eyes look blue because then my face, there we go. Perfect, because like especially when I don't have the beard, even when I lose weight, my face looks too big. I look like almost like a bobblehead doll. You know, I look
what?
Like that. Yeah, a little bit. I think so, a little bit. Maybe that's a little self-conscious. And then the coloring here looks good too. You know what I mean? But I find myself to be quite distracted. So when I'm talking, I'm watching myself talk, and it's just a weird dynamic. I don't know why it's in
here. Does it change your cadence when you're talking that way?
Oh, now they're zooming in on Tiki.
I know. Now they're looking deep.
Tiki Barber.
My eyes are brown, not blue.
Tiki Barber in the WFAN studios. We need a little bourbon and a cigar and a fireplace behind us.
I'll take a gin. Hey, kiss my ass.
Hey, kiss my ass.
Oh, nice one.
Jackson Dart is the future Giants quarterback. And I love Russell Wilson. I'm going to his charity event tonight. That's why I'm wearing a black shirt. Tommy's wearing a black shirt because he recently purchased a white hat, and black and white goes together. He looks like a marshmallow. He looks like a s'more. He doesn't look like he usually looks. Yeah, so I was going to bust out some fun shirts today. I might go a little floral, we'll see, but I went with the black shirt. But I am just thoroughly distracted. I remember the last time Teek and I did a show was last summer.
It was.
And we were it was during the Olympics.
Yep.
And we were watching the Brazilian female volleyball team. And I was thoroughly distracted.
Somehow it found its way on our television. I don't know why. I mean, it's accidental. It wasn't my fault.
No doubt. And I would just say this. This is just from, and if you are, obviously, fellas, if you're listening to me right now, if you're married, sunglasses. That would be my advice. Because you put those bad boys on and you can just survey the field. thong bathing suits have made a comeback. You normally would have to go to Brazil just to see them. Now you go down to, you know, Tobe Beach. You're at Jones Beach. You're where Robert Moses.
Right.
And it's all over the place.
Right.
It has made it. I don't even know a comeback. I don't ever remember that being in the States.
It's been about 5 or 6 years that they've been making a comeback.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Big time.
And it's not just the single babes that you're talking about.
No.
It's the housewives.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The house.
Talk dirty to me, Tiki.
So when I was younger, and I don't remember the age, but my cousin said there is a nude beach on Long Island. Now,
is there really?
Well, hold on. You're going to Greece right now. There's probably a nude beach there. You know, I'm a young kid. I'm thinking, oh, a nude beach. You know, whatever. You know, and this was, geez. So I'll be 40. So I was in the 90s. Kids now, I mean, you could access everything on TikTok. I mean, back in the day, you had to watch, you know, scrambled porn and basically try to make out whatever you were trying to make out. So you didn't have the internet. So I was like, oh, a nude beach, this will be fun. So we had a walk forever. It was like
went.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It was like a 30-minute walk. Got to the nude beach, and I immediately regretted it. Let's just say it was, you know.
Not who you wanted to see.
No, it was instead of seeing Pam Anderson, I saw an old guy that was very, very just, you know, hanging out in the wind. And I was like, all right, I will never, ever attempt that again. And maybe that was
30-minute walk, too?
You imagine traveling 30 minutes and you're thinking like, all right, 30-minute walk, but it's going to be worth it. We're going to get there. It's going to be like spring break. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be like Girls Gone Wild, which was very popular back in the day when I was like a teenager. And I get there. And it's basically Steve Summers at a nude beach. And I'm like, okay. And he was like by himself. There was no one else there. I'm not even sure if it was the actual nude beach or this guy was breaking the laws of a Long Island beach.
And you were there solo? You went for the walk?
It was me and my buddy, okay. Chris. We were told by my cousin, hey, there's this nude beach. And he knew. Well, let's be real.
Your buddy knew.
My cousin.
No, your cousin
He
knew.
Was sending us on a mission that was not going. We were not getting the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. I can tell you that much. And when we got there, we wish we had never made the trek.
Right.
And my one friend stayed behind to eat a sandwich. The sandwich was a hell of a lot better than what we experienced at the nude beach. So I would say avoid them at all costs. Actually, speaking of, you know, as I transition here, let's take a window seat to the Giants training camp, shall we? And it's sponsored by Windorama's First Down Deals, 30% off your installation project. I'm going to put Abdul Carter in the window seat because he was sent to the Shadow Realm by Stone Smart. Is that the gentleman's name? Stone
yes.
Smart kind of sounds like a jobber back in the day. Like, coming up, Tito Santana versus Stone Smart, right? Stone Smart?
Right.
He sounds like he should be in like...
almost a fake name.
Fake name. Yeah, like Stone Smart, you know, like a Chippendales
Brooklyn
dancer.
Brawler.
Brooklyn Brawler or something like that. Abdul Carter... And the obvious line is, well, welcome to the NFL moment. He got absolutely like Mortal Kombat, see ya, finish him, whatever this phrase was. He got just smoked out of his shoes. And then he went on social media. I'll pull up the tweet here in a sec, Teague, when we get your thought on it. But just overall, like that kind of moment happening to him and then his reaction afterwards.
Well, it's an awareness thing. So he's lined up over the tight end, but he's rushing on the tackle, right? So that's important. Because he thinks, and just like most edge rushers think, the tight end is just going to release. The tight end's going into a route. He's running a flat, or he's running a go, or he's doing something. So I don't even think Abdul Carter was looking at Stone Smart. He's looking at the tackle and thinking about, what's my plan to beat the tackle? And so all Stone Smart has to do is just throw a little shiver into him. It wasn't a hard hit. It's not like he crushed him. He just kind of threw a shoulder into him, and because Abdul Carter was rushing and is like off his feet and he's trying to get to the tackle, that it planted him. Just completely shocked him, took him by surprise, and it looked bad.
Rookies are dumb.
And so,
but I promise you, that'll never happen to Abdul Carter again.
Oh, I bet that. I mean, Abdul Carter, who is well on pace to be a better defensive player than Lawrence Taylor. I joke.
But, oh,
no, I'm kidding. But he has been the talk of not only Giants camp, but really of all rookies outside of a Shedeur Sanders, because he's just been so electric and he just like jumps off the page in the viral videos.
Right.
I'm not saying that this is necessarily going to like a humbling moment, because he doesn't seem humbled based on what he put out on social media afterwards. But Abdul Carter is going to be, I think, one of the great pass rushers in this league. Now, the tweet afterwards is...
But he was responding to the NFL's posting of it.
Posting
right?
of it, exactly. And he essentially said might be the only highlight of the Jets all season. Might be the only highlight of the Jets all season, and we put BTA weak ass chip ate that MF like barbecue. The half of that I didn't understand, but the half that I did get and liked is the fact that, hey, you took a little shot at the Jets. And whether it's Kayvon, whether it's Carter, if they want to take some shots at the... Because remember, when we had Abdul Carter on at camp, we, or Evan, tried to get him to say some things bad about Philly, and he didn't.
Right.
Not going to lie, Sean and I talked about it a little off the air. We would have preferred if he took some shots at Philly. I understand you're a rookie. You're still going through it with the media. You're probably coached up what to say, what not to say. So he didn't take the bait. It would have been nice if he just said, yeah, Philly sucks. I know I went to Penn State. I'm a Philly fan.
Well, he couldn't do that yet.
He couldn't do that
yet. He will eventually.
You think so?
Absolutely.
Eventually, he'll just be like, ah, screw Philly like the rest of us.
Right.
888-808-1019 is a number to call. We'll get to the Jets here in just a little bit. But first, Andrew is in Yonkers. What's up, Andrew?
Hey, how's it going?
All's good.
Now, Andrew, before you comment, let me just remind the audience here that's just tuning in because they heard football talk for the last, 15 minutes or so. I was just recently in Nashville. Tiki is going to Greece next week, and I was discussing how, people in Europe, they go on holiday, and we should adopt that here in America because they go on vacation for weeks, months, years. Maybe they just go on vacation, they never come back, and they're just fully permanently on vacation. And I had mentioned that I ran into some girls from Ireland, quite attractive, that are on holiday that have been in America since the end of May. They were in Chicago. They're going to like L.A. They were going to Vegas. They were in Nashville, San Diego, you name it, traveling the world. And I just was like so jealous because, A, that's awesome. B, like, I don't know financially how you do it. I don't know how you do it as far as packing, like the whole deal. Now, you might have some insight on this, Andrew. Is that what you're telling me?
Yes, I might. So, like, 2 or 3 days ago, I was talking to my sister and her friend is Irish, and she was telling me and my sister about how her cousin is, like, gallivanting all over. She was in Nashville, now she's in Chicago, and she's going to Las Vegas, and they're ending their trip in California, and I was like, wait a second. I think Loogie, I think you met my sister's friend's cousin.
Well, it's certainly
her cousin
possible.
And, like, her friend's.
Based on everything you described there, it's absolutely 100% on the table. Because that was. Now, I will say this. We met several groups of girls from Ireland, believe it or not, which I didn't have that on my national
bingo card. From Ireland?
I swear. Three separate groups of girls. And they were all on holiday. One of them was working here for the summer. This group that obviously Andrew knows here since the end of May. And they're just, they're partying all summer long, which is just phenomenal.
I can speak on one of them because my sister's friend told me that her cousin she's been working here since I think January or December and all that money that she made this to May or whatever when they left is all going towards that trip.
Got
so
it.
I could at least speak
that's
to that.
That's how they're affording.
So they've been in the, they were in the country since January.
At least one of them was. I mean, I can't speak
do they pay
on,
rent
like,
at home,
it,
or they just they live with their parents? I guess they could just split the country.
I think some of them live with family here and stuff. You know how that goes. Right. Yeah,
that's interesting.
Thank you.
No, I appreciate it.
It could have been au pairs.
A what?
An au pair?
No shot. Tommy knows what that is.
I know O'Hare, which is an airport.
There's no chance
it's like a
Tommy knows
live-in
what that
nanny.
Is.
And so they come to the States. They au pair, or they sit with your kids. And they make money. They don't really pay for expenses. There goes Tiki. No, this isn't me in a rabbit hole. I had an au pair. So we had au pairs for four years. And so they come and then they travel. Like after they're done, they travel. So maybe that's what it is. And there's groups of them. Like they know other au pairs. And so...
So there's groups of hot nannies that come here and watch your kids, and then they travel to Nashville to meet me, and then they go to Vegas? Why? Honestly.
See, no, there's a reason why you should have kids, Tommy.
Why the heck, as a young 13-year-old, did I listen to Joe Beningo on the radio and want to do this career? Why? I'm sitting here, there's no windows, and we're talking about football. Meanwhile, there's a bunch of hot nannies traveling the world on everyone else's dime, basically. Not on their dime. They worked hard for it. And now they get to go vacation all summer long because they're what is it?
Au pair.
Au paired.
Au pair. Not au paired. Au pair.
Au pair.
My vision was au-paired.
Yeah,
several
very,
times.
Very.
Oh, I'm telling you.
You want to take a crack on spelling au-pair?
Au-pair? Yes. O-P-E-A-R. Thank you.
Close.
Chrysanthemum. She got cat. 888-808-1019. First team offense on Saturday night. And the best way I could describe it, Tiki, you don't strike me as a video game player. I assume you didn't play
video
games.
I used to, but I haven't in a really long time.
Okay, have you played Madden before in your life?
Oh, yeah, because my kids played Madden. I had to play it with them, and they just wanted to kick my butt.
They ran up the score on you?
Of course.
Well, I'm glad you said it that way, because when I watched the Jets' first-team offense, and they kept running the ball, running the ball, running the ball, it made me think of playing Madden when you're, like, decent at Madden, but you're playing somebody that's, like, really, really, really good, and you just don't want to get smoked and embarrassed. So you just run the ball, run the clock. Like, I was, like, waiting and waiting and waiting for something to happen other than run, 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 run. And I know they probably don't want to tip all their hands, and it's vanilla. But I'm watching this Jet offense, and I think the Jets are going to be pretty good here. I could see them surprising some people. I could absolutely see them beating the Steelers in week one. But I'm watching this first-team offense, and I'm like, all right, at some point here, like, we think of the Lions that run the ball a lot, but then they go play action with Goff and they get big plays. Do the Jets have that in the toolbox to get big plays down the field off these runs?
It must be something that they're going to install later or start executing later, because you're right. I mean, the best, Adrian Martinez and Brady Cook look the best at quarterback.
I agree with you.
That throwing the ball down the field and making plays. Justin Fields is either reluctant or not calling the plays, or it doesn't feel like he wants to or can. Now, maybe that's intentional. I'm going to assume it's intentional. But most of their success has been in the run game. And I know, talking about this after the game and the post game with Schmelk, it was the one thing, if you were the Giants coaches, that you were probably going to be upset about is how well the Jets ran the ball, right? They just kind of at will move the ball up and down the field. I think they rushed for over 100 yards in the game. And so, like, the run game we know is going to be important. And I think it's even going to get more important once they put the QB run stuff in. Mm. So, like, QB sweep or options or zone reads or QB power, all that stuff. That's when this Jet offense can really, you know, fulfill the run potential. But the pass game stuff looks bad. Like, really bad.
Yeah, we gave Sean a hard time last week when he was doing one of his syncos, and he said, I think it's abundantly clear that the Jets can't throw the ball down the field, and we gave him a hard time.
Right.
Only because when you say that in, you know, August in a preseason, that something is abundantly clear, it's a little bit of an overstatement.
Yeah, because we haven't even seen it yet.
Right, we haven't gotten to the regular season yet.
I think you said that before we had even seen a preseason game.
It was definitely before Saturday.
Right.
So it might have been like a couple drives against the Packers where he runs for a touchdown and stuff that he has either seen on video from camp or stuff that he's being fed, which is, look, yeah, but they're standing around in their underwear throwing the ball around. It is what it is. The Jets are absolutely going to be a smash-mouth football team. I think that takes on the identity of their head coach.
Right.
They want to run the ball. They want to punch you in the mouth. And Fields at quarterback, you know, lends to that because he is more of a runner than he is a thrower. That being said, at some point, he's going to have to let it loose and unleash this passing game a little bit, especially when you have Garrett Wilson. You want to get plays down the field. And if you run, at some point, defenses are going to go, you know what? We're not going to let the run game beat us.
Right.
Beat us with the pass. And right now, it doesn't look good. Doesn't mean it won't look good, you know, come regular season or midway through. But right now, right this second, from the little sample size, it's just like, whoa.
Yeah. No, the only completion he had, which was for 4 yards. In fact, his rush was longer than his completion. He ran for 5 yards. It was a drop-off to the tight end because he couldn't find anywhere else to go with the ball. So he just, and I think that was his first pass. He just dropped it off to the tight end. After that, some of it was good defense. Like, he had a shallow dig that was coming, and Cordell Flott just made a good play on it. The first throw to the sideline, he tried to get it to Garrett Wilson, but Paulson and Debo also made a good play on it, even though it was a bad behind the wide receiver ball. But they have to prove to us, and we might not see it in the preseason, but the Jets have to prove to us that they can throw the ball. Because right now, if I was game planning week one against the Jets, I would say we don't have to worry about them beating us with their quarterback's arm.
Right.
It just doesn't I haven't seen anything to it. You could say all you want about Russell Wilson, but you know what we saw Russell Wilson do? Throwing 62-yard bomb. It was an 80-yard play, just like you've seen him do for the last 10 years of his career. So you might think that Russell Wilson's getting old. He can still throw bombs, right? And so what can Justin Fields do? We have no idea because we haven't seen him do much of anything in these first couple of
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Season games, except for uses legs and scramble and make big plays that way.
Yeah, and so if you're Mike Tomlin, you're getting ready for week one. And look, I think the Steelers are going to have their own problems on offense.
I agree.
With Rodgers, with Metcalf. That being said, they're... And I think Hayward is holding out right now, so he's not in. Yeah, so that's a big part of their team that's not there. But this is the Steelers are always known for their defense, and they bring it, and defense travels. The Jets are going to have at least a couple of wrinkles in week one to offset a really good defense. And right now, it just doesn't look like it's in their toolbox, in their arsenal. And that's is what it is. I think that their identity is running the ball.
Right.
But even teams that run the ball a lot, there has to be the threat of throwing the ball down the field. And I don't even feel like there's a threat. Like, no. I wouldn't be one sleepless night worrying about Justin Fields beating me down the field.
Yeah. I mean,
with his arm.
And when you talk about the defense, so I think a lot of that defense is still reputation from the last couple of years. They have a lot to prove. Because they've had changes in the secondary. Andre Sisco, who got beat for that big play, that Russell Wilson deep ball, he's new coming in from Jacksonville. He didn't have a great couple years down there in Jacksonville. Sauce Gardner's got that calf injury. Now, hopefully it's nothing, and by 3 weeks from now when the regular season starts, it's not an issue, but you got the Sauce Gardner health question mark. You got Brandon Stevens, who comes over from Baltimore, who's the other side. You don't really know a lot about him here. A lot of this is just assumption that they're going to be good. You hope that it is because they have good players. And you talk about the guys up front, Quinnen Williams and Will McDonald and all those guys, Quincy as well at the second level. But they also still have to prove that they can be that team that everybody expected them to be.
Yeah, and I think that from at least what I've heard, that the Jets, from their practices, they have had this bravado and this cockiness. I don't want to say like Rex Ryan-level cockiness,
right?
But this maybe attitude that they're going to be a 10-win team. And I like that, and I think that's good because, you know, Aaron Glenn is going to preach that, and you could just see it on the sidelines. I mean, he's the polar opposite of Robert Saleh.
Oh, of course.
Especially as a head coach. Robert 100%. Saleh was more of a deer in the headlights look when his beard was, colored in or whatever, and he looked like he was like, oh, what did I get myself into? Aaron Glenn does not have that look right now. He looks very, very comfortable as the head coach, and he's just ripping guys new ones, and you could
as
just see
should.
It. As he should. Even though it's the preseason.
Look, he's setting the precedent. In training camp, you saw it earlier. You see it in the preseason games when they make mistakes, whether it's jumping off sides or whatever. He's letting them know that you are going to be held accountable. By the way, training camp coverage on WFAN is brought to you by Geico. Switch and save. Get more with Geico. So I like Aaron Glenn's persona. I like how he's coaching this team. I'm just worried that they're not going to be good enough early. And so... We talk about the Giants getting off to a tough start because of the schedule. I think the Jets might have an issue simply because of finding themselves, like continuity, figuring out who they are, what's our identity. It's likely to be the run game and play good defense, but I mean, those things, it's to be determined. And I don't think the last preseason game is going to show us a lot.
Yeah, and the Jets have, to me, with their first year with Glenn, new regime, sort of,
right.
Moving on from the worst failure in the history of New York sports, which of course was Aaron Rodgers' time with the Jets, they have a little bit of a pass this year. I think from the fan base, from just the media, now you want to win more than like one or two games, but I think that the overall scrutiny like when you look at the locals, the Giants are under the microscope way more as far as, you know, Russell Wilson, Dart, Dable, Shane,
because
all
of the quarterback.
Stuff. Yeah.
It's because of the coaching and the organizational situation with the head coach and the general manager.
Yep.
But also, you got this like ridiculous quarterback room with all these like fun pieces. That's the best way to put it.
It's the new season of Love Island.
Right. It's like all these fun pieces, the Love Island of Giants quarterback room, which is kind of awesome because even the guy who's kind of the odd man out, and seemingly, and Tommy DeVito, is the fan favorite.
Yeah, he's interning right now with the Giants.
He comes in the game because we were at it, and it was like, they still love him.
Oh, Tommy is just, and I'm not talking about myself, I'm talking about Tommy DeVito, is so beloved. When I met him at the Islander game this winter, it was ridiculous. You would have thought that Taylor Swift was walking the halls. All the kids love him. By the way, this guy, what was the guy's name? Andre Sisco,
the safety.
Am I the only one that when I hear that, I think of Sisco, the singer from Drew Hill, the thong song? You know what I mean?
That's
lots of thong talk.
That song. Well, I thought about that in the back of my mind. I'm like, all right, I've already played the thong card here three times. But I don't care because when I hear Sisco, I think of Drew Hill, of course, which was the group.
Right.
And then Sisco that came out of that. That song.
There's nothing wrong with a thong, Tommy.
Absolutely not. You know, even like, didn't Jason Giambi wear one? I think he did for like good luck.
I know Jeter did because he thought
Jeter said
he wore it one game because he was in a slump and he saw it hanging in Giambi's locker.
The golden thong.
Get out of here. Yes. I'll find it. Jeter has told the story.
What?
I got to find out. Now you got to tell me, Rami.
Yeah, we'll get to the bottom of whether or not Derek Jeter has worn a thong before, but that thong song was such a huge hit. I was in high school, I'm sure. I was like a freshman in high school,
right.
And it was everywhere.
And
you could not get away from it.
It was such a simple, stupid song.
As all those big hits are. When you look back on it, you're like, these songs are all very, very basic, but whatever it is, the song catches fire, and you just never hear the end of it. But yeah, when I hear, what's his name? Andre Sisco. Andre Sisco. I think of Sisco, thong song, and Drew Hill. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Artie's in Brooklyn. What's up, Art?
Hey, guys.
Hey, Artie.
You know, I got a new defense for the Jets.
What's that?
Against the Jets. 11 in the box. They're not going to be able to throw the ball.
I mean, you're probably
you
right,
know,
Artie.
If you're watching the game, and I want this guy to be Jalen Hurts.
Right.
And I see his pass hit the dirt. But it wasn't that one, Tiki. If Sanchez was trying to be nice, he said he had a couple of guys on the flat.
Right.
He was staring right wide open. Wide open. And he would have thrown him the ball. So in my mind, he's questioning
what he's seeing.
To me, it's more like, it's third and something. I'm going to run. So even if they're open, if your mind is set on running, you're not ready to throw the ball.
No,
even if
right.
the guy's staring wide open, he's just staring at him.
Right.
That's one. And then the other thing is here's my question. Okay, I don't know. This kid, the kid that they undrafted, the kid from Missouri, he actually looked good. If so happens that Taylor is better than Fields, in what he sees, does Glenn have the permission, or whatever you want to call
right.
it, to start Taylor over Fields? Thanks for taking the call, man.
I appreciate you, Artie. I don't see that happening because, first of all, Tyrod Taylor is hurt
now.
Yeah. And I guess it's not that big of a deal, but it could be.
Mm.
You just don't know.
Tyrod often injured, too.
And I think Tanner Engstrand, who is the offensive coordinator, he wants this team to be a run kind of first team. And so Justin Fields simply helps you do that better because now you have to account for the sixth skill position player in the run game, and that's hard to do for defenses. Like, there were a couple of plays in this game where the Giants had one extra coming off the side, you know, blitzing a corner. Kayvon Thibodeau, they're all like smashing down to get into the run. If they're doing like a zone read there, Justin Fields runs for 50 yards because you just sell out to stop the run against the Jets, and all of a sudden quarterback pulls that ball. He's got nothing but green space. They're not doing that yet. They're not allowing him to do that yet. But when they start doing that, he can do that better than most quarterbacks in the NFL, save for Lamar Jackson is in it, and maybe not even really Josh Allen anymore. He doesn't really do that much anymore. So Tyrod Taylor doesn't give you that ability. Now, what he was talking about was the kid Brady Cook. That kid looks good.
Yeah.
He throws the ball confidently.
Yeah, Martinez threw the ball well, too.
Absolutely.
But you're also coming in after a guy that couldn't throw the ball 2 yards to the right of him, so you almost look better based on what you've seen earlier. Fields, by the way, if you want Jameis Winston, we could trade him to the Jets. You know, we have four quarterbacks.
You're joking, but it feels like the Giants have a surplus.
Well, because I think the joke's going to be... Tommy is obviously interning with the Giants. If they part ways with him, if his internship runs out, the Jets should just pick up Tommy DeVito. Doesn't even have to move. He could still live in Hoboken, and he could just hang out, you know, and now he go to Florham Park. Can't have that happen, though.
And much like Jackson Dart, Adrian Martinez was crushing third stringers.
Well, that...
Jackson Dart,
hold on a second. Tiki's going to give you the really well-thought-out, you know, sports opinion like John Schmelk or Paul DeTino just threw him something on pre and post there. That was a shot from Rami. Rami and Paul that are working with us today are both Jet fans, and they're sitting back there, and they're hearing us guffawing over our bay, Jackson Dart. And then when we got to Justin Fields, who has not played well in the preseason.
No, okay, I agree. Right. Yes.
But you felt the need to say, well, why is Dart performing against third stringers? We got him in Canton, and when Fields is playing
back.
Not backups,
Fields, I said Adrian Martinez is
Martinez,
doing the same thing.
I apologize. Martinez. And I watched Martinez at college. He's obviously not the prospect Jackson
Dart. He stinks, yeah.
Yeah, nor are the Jet fans. Well, I think the majority of Jet fans believe the quarterback of the future is not on the team.
Correct.
Is that a fair statement?
That is correct.
Yes. You could still have a good year this year.
It makes for a weird season because you want success in Aaron Glenn's first year, but you're also saying, how are we going to get our quarterback?
If you win a bunch of games.
If you win a bunch of games.
That's the problem.
Right, and this is going to be like a pseudo wildcat option team the entire year. Fields is going to throw, 15 passes a game, maybe?
Maybe,
right?
Maybe.
And again, that the Wildcat can
being
work.
Said, he has had some games in his career where he's thrown the ball a ton and been hugely successful, but it's not consistent.
But do you think that's going to happen? And
I don't feel like that's what the plan is.
Right.
I have no idea what the plan is.
I agree
but
with
it
that.
Doesn't feel like
and
that's
I think
what
most
the plan
Jets
is.
Fans agree with that.
Right.
Let's go to Dave in Babylon. What's up, Dave?
Hey guys, a couple points on Abdul Carter. I think he's going to be an off the charts great pass rusher. But he's getting a little out over his skis there. He got his ass handed to him a couple of times in the running game. It wasn't just on that one play. Right. If you remember on the 3rd and 8 where Braylon had that nice run, we're sitting there and we're going, we can't throw on 3rd and 8 here. And ABT absolutely owned him.
Yeah.
Now, I think it speaks to what Glenn wanted to do in the game. He didn't want to put the quarterback in any situation where he was going to get hit. All we heard all week was how the pass rush of the Giants was a real hard thing for the Jets line. So what do? You're going to run the ball. And the offensive line came out very well. I, you know, have an unhealthy, probably obsession with watching linemen. I played in the line. My son played in the line. I coached it. Pad level of these guys is terrific. They get off the ball. Whoever's coaching them is doing a much improved job.
You're talking about the Jets.
So, you know, yeah, I'm talking about the Jets.
Yeah. I mean, Mimbu got beat a couple of times.
Yeah.
Like badly. He got beat badly a couple
really
of times.
Well.
Right, of course.
Yeah, he gets up the ball in running game really well, though.
Right.
And what happens is the Giants are going to play 3 defensive ends in pass rush. Well, you know, you're going to get some big on little guys there. I mean, ABT, you couldn't even see Abdul when ABT blocked him on that play. And it was just a single, you know, man-to-man block, just owned him.
Yeah, but you got to be fair. That's Abdul Carter playing a 3 technique. So it's third and eight, third and six, whatever the down to distance was. They're going to go race car. So you have Brian Burns, you have Kayvon Thibodeau, and then inside you have Abdul Carter, and that is a ridiculous.
Who's a 230-pound linebacker?
Right, exactly.
You know? So that's gonna happen. But I think what you're going to see is that you know really in any sport this holds true. In order to do the fun, really pretty stuff, you got to do the hard stuff first.
100%.
And I'll say, you know, small victories in both the Packer game and this game. There were no pre-snap penalties. The plays got in. They got stuff off. They got the ball out pretty well, with the exception of the starting quarterback. But I think that's gonna come. And the one thing that you see the touchdown run against Green Bay, he saw that they were in man coverage.
Yep.
He saw the backs of their jerseys, and he took off. That's right. going to happen a lot.
By the way, that's what he did so well in Chicago. When he was in Chicago, he did that a ton. And it's why they had a somewhat successful season, even though their offense wasn't really that good. It was because he basically backyard footballed it for a lot of the season. And the coordinator didn't know how to utilize him in any other way.
Didn't know how to use him at all.
Right. No. So,
and Glenn really liked him. I mean, the fact that Glenn was so all in on him tells me something, because he went against him. Right. And he said, you know, this guy was a problem. So that gives me a little bit of hope. I think we're going to be a defensive team. I think the defense is going to be a lot more buttoned down. Cisco, you know, what's his name? Sanchez totally jinxed him. I said to my friend, I said, that's the kiss of death. When he was talking about Cisco just before that play.
Well,
and he was in single high. He didn't get enough depth. In that situation, you tell me, Tiki, he's supposed to be deeper than the deepest.
Dave, it was actually cover three, even though they were pressed on the outside.
Yeah,
so,
right.
They're so pressing, both corners are running. As long as the vertical threat is going deep, you stay with them like it's man coverage, but it's really cover three. You have a third. He has a third. Cisco has middle of the field. He vacated the middle of the field because he thought Bo Collins was running a go route, and instead Bo Collins crossed his face, and now the middle of the field is vacated, and it was a humongous play.
Yeah.
So he
came up too. He definitely didn't have the right depth, though. He came up too soon.
Right.
You know, I get that.
Dave, real quick, before you make your point there, I got a quick question for you. So you mentioned an unhealthy obsession. Now, when I think of unhealthy obsessions, I don't think of staring at offensive linemen. Do you have any other unhealthy obsessions you'd like to share to kind of give us a golf or something?
I have many.
Yes.
I have many.
Because you said you had an unhealthy obsession with staring at giant, you know, offensive linemen. I'm like,
that's the only one you can get away with without being canceled.
I exaggerated, and Lugie is trying to go negative on me there, and I'm not taking it.
No. I wasn't trying to take the bait. I heard that, and that stuck out to me, that you have an unhealthy obsession with staring at offensive linemen. Or
start rubbing off on these other guys. Well, by the way, I do too.
You do as well.
I love watching offensive linemen.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, not me. I gotta be honest with you.
Yeah. I'm watching Membo now.
Watching Membo.
Membo. Okay.
Should we turn the lights off?
He's just
a little wine.
He's just a little bit late. He wants to help. Mood, he thinks he's getting the blitz, so he's hating. Yeah, this is good.
This is
these holes are gaping.
Just really gets you in the mood.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.